Masechet Negaim, Perek Chet, Mishnah Beit. Okay, so we're holding now, after we went through the idea about the concepts of the spreading, which is called Pricha, all over you, and then we wanted to know what the din would be if some of that Pricha changed afterwards. But what if it changed in a place like on a tip of one of the Chofdala Devarim? Now we want to know what happens if you've got a spreading where we had a Michya there from the beginning. So the halacha is that if a nega spreads from a place that was already Tomei and had a Michya in it, then as long as that Michya is in it, it's not considered to be a Parach Kuloi Lavan, because the Michya itself is by definition not part of the Pricha. But what happens if afterwards it spreads into the Michya? So if you started off with a Paharet of a Gris, and it had a Michya which was a normal size of a Michya that is big enough to be Metame, and that's a Michya Ka'adasha. And now the nega spreads, and it's Porcha Bekulo. It spreads over his entire body, first leaving the Michya, and afterwards covering the Michya as well. Or first it spread over the Michya, which means that the Michya disappears, because now the Michya becomes part of the actual Baharat that was there originally. Or first the Michya goes away, and then it's Porach Bekulo. So then the halacha is that he's considered to be tahor. Now, the reason that this is a chiddush is because if lemaisa, the person had shown that nega to a kohen in between, he would have been called tamei. Because the moment that there was a pricha, the pricha would have been mitameim anyway, right? So the point is that since he waited until the end, it was Tomei first, and then it became Tohar. But the Chiddush is over here, this is a big, actually, it's a machlokas, because not everybody agrees to this, that in the event that the Michya was there and the Kohen had not as yet looked at it. So he did not say that the guy was tahar. The halacha, since had he looked at it, he would have said that the guy was tahar. But he didn't look at it. Or how about in this the second case that we have over here? So it was tame before, and it was never called tahar. And because of that, we are going to continue looking at it as a pricha mitoch, the din of tuma. Remember that a pricha that comes from Tyra is not called pricha. So if it's first presented as a pricha, then it's tame, because this is what the Kohen sees. Over here, had the Kohen see it in the middle, so then it would have been different. Now, how about in a case where the nega had already spread and then no de lo michya? So then at that point, it says beferish in the pasuk, ubayom hera od bo basar chai tame. So if it comes back, that michya now makes the whole thing tame. Now what about, now here's the question. This is an amazing question. Let's think about this. The michya, the day that it comes back into a porach bekulai lovan, the michya makes him tame. But why does the michya make him tame? Does the Michya make him Tame because the Michya is a Simen Tuma, even on a Porach Bekuloi Lavan? Or does the Michya make him Tame because since the Michya is normal colored skin, it is no longer Porach Bekuloi? What's the difference? The difference is very simple. If the Michya is able to be Metame because it is a Simen Tuma, then I can question, okay, and what's the din if two white hairs appeared? So just because the Baharat itself spread over his whole body doesn't mean that we cannot make it Tameh with a Simen Tumah. will have a siman tuma with sa'ar lavan as well. In the same way that the Torah says that a michya could be metame, even a porach bekulai, so too the Torah would be metame with sa'arot lavanot, it would be metame also a porach bekulai. That's the question. So now, if after the nega was porach bekulai, was noilad lo sa'ar lavan, what would be the din? Rabbi Yoshua says, well, it's exactly the same as the michya. The michya is metame. Why wouldn't the sa'ar lavan be metame? Whereas the chachamim say, no, there's no comparison. The michya is metame because it's no longer porach. But there is no din if the baheret itself is considered not to be a nega that's metame. Why will sa'ar lavan make it a nega that's metame? So therefore, according to the chachamim, sa'ar lavan will not be metame a poreach at all. Now, what about if you have a nega that was tame through pisayon, or that was tame originally with sa'ar lavan, and now it spreads over everything? So let's consider a case. Mishnah Gimel. You have a baheret which has sa'ar lavan in it. It's considered to be tame, and it was now porach bekulai. Everybody agrees that even though the sa'ar lavan is still there, there for sure he's tahar. Rabbi Yoshua only said that the sa'ar lavan is a tamei in this new din of a nega that was parach bekulai, when that sa'ar lavan appears after it was parach bekulai, in exactly the same way that the michya appeared after it was parach bekulai, ubiyom heraot bo basar chayitma. So the same thing is true over here. But if you have the sa'ar lavan that was there from before, and now the pricha bekula was metayer, the original baharat which contained the sa'ar lavan, there Rabbi Yoshua never argued on the chachamim, and he's made that is considered to be tahar. Now the question is, what about pisayon? So let's assume we have a baharat. The baharat was pasah. And after the Kohen sees that it was Pasah, and he was metame it, it continues to be Pasah, and it ends up being Porach Bekulai. So then, obviously, he's Tahar. Okay. Now, we'll discuss the next piece later. The Kulan, and Bechlal, you should know that there is a general Klal. And the Klal is that in any event, Shechazru Behem Roshei Avarim, Hare Elo Tmeim. So if something was tar because of pricha, even the nega is now in an area where it's on the tip of one of the 24 evarim, which themselves would not have been considered to be a mokum of a nega in the first place, because it's not l'chol mar'e enei kohen, but where it comes to the question of whether now it is going back to not being completely covered by the baharet, it is not completely covered by the baharet. So even if it's on a fingertip, it doesn't matter. It now makes you tamei, not because it has a din of a michya necessarily, but because it is no longer parach bekula. Now, another issue would be that it does not matter how much of your body was covered in the first place through the pricha. And even though usually the halacha is that rubai kekulai, that's not true when it comes to pricha. And if a nega spreads over most of the body, but it's only part of the body, parcha b'miktzato, it's tame. And I don't care how much that miktzato is, it's not ruba kakulo. Only if parcha b'kulai, literally, only then is it tahar. Continues Mishnah Dalet, Perekhet. Ko prichat roshei evarim, sheprichatan tiharo, tamei, they were metayer something, and they make it tamei. So we have any type of pricha on a tip of one of those 24 areas of the body that we call tips, and that caused the guy with that last little bit to become tahar. So they were metayer a tamei by making the pricha complete. The moment that they go back to their normal color, they are now going to be metame, because it no longer is considered to be parach bekulai. And in the opposite sense, it's also true. wherever you have chazirat roshei avarim, wherever you have a healing, in other words, a going back to normal coloration, even of one of the 24 tips on the body, shepachaziratan timot tahar, which by going back to their normal color, they ended up making someone who had been tahar because of parach pekula, they make him tamei. Then the moment that they again get a nega, and they are nitkaser with the baharet, so now they make the person tahar. If once again they become tamei, so then they're going to make, healed, nitgalu, so then now he becomes tamei. I don't care if this happens every other day, you know? In other words, if there's a nega that's spreading to a fingertip, and then the next day it's off of the fingertip, and then the next day it's on the fingertip, the Kohen can't say, look, just forget about it, huh? Because, I mean, every time I tell you tahar, you're going to have to go ahead and bring all these karbonas and go through this whole process. You're not going to be able to put it off till the end of this, you know? So if you keep showing this to me, you're going to end up having to do 100 different tyrus. Doesn't matter. Even so, he's got each time the Kohen has to say tamei. He can't just say, okay, forget about it. Tomorrow it's going to be tar, you know. Let's just leave it. He's got to say tamei. And when the guy brings it to him, he's got to say tar. Even if this happens 100 times and the guy requires a separate tyra for each time. Now, we said that an area that was covered, that could have been covered in the first place, to become tamei by a nega, is part of the pricha. And that's the rule. That kol ra'ui li tamei b'nega habaheret me'akevet ha'pricha. So if a nega spreads over the entire body and it leaves a place where that place is theoretically shayach to get an habaheret in it in the first place, so then the halacha is that that makes the pricha incomplete. And if the pricha is incomplete, then the guy is going to be tamei. But kol she'eno ra'ui b'nega, l'tamei b'nega ha'baharet, if something is not a location that could theoretically ever become tamei with a baharet, then the fact that it wasn't covered with a baharet is not going to be ma'akev es ha'pricha, because it's not really part of it. Gavi, come back. Now let me give you an example. Ketsa. So let's say you have a nega that is covering the entire body, but it does not get into his scalp. It does not get into his beard. It covers everything, but it does not cover a raw shechin, does not cover a raw mikveh, or does not cover any other type of kedach that is mordim. Remember, mordim means that it is still rebelling against the body's attempt to do something about it, and it's still raw. It doesn't even have the layer of skin. The layer of skin that we're referring to, remember, is only the thickness of a klipat hashum. It doesn't even have that on it. So those types of skins, scalp, beard, raw skin, that is not ra'ui to be, in any event, a nega tzarat. So here, the nega spread over the entire body, but it didn't cover the raw skin, or didn't cover his beard. What's the halacha? He's tahar. Because in that case, it was a full pricha, because it covers every area that could be covered by a nega. Now, in that event, what happens if there is a change and he loses his hair? So now he doesn't have hair on the scalp. Now he doesn't have hair on the beard. Or let's say the raw skin now becomes covered with new skin. So the shechin or the mikvah or the kedach are no longer mordim, and now they became a tzarevet. So now we've got an interesting situation. Is this the same situation as a biyom heira'ot bo basar chai, and therefore he becomes tamei? Or do we say that since the pricha, as originally defined, covered his entire body, and none of the original covering that was part of the pricha turned any other color, he remains tahor as it was before? Amazingly, the halacha is that the nega itself, having remained unaffected by biyom heira'ot bo, there's no bo, and therefore it remains tahor, because even though now we have a body that has skin that could be covered by nega and isn't, the original nega does not change its halacha from tahor to tamei just because there's other places that could it be covered now with that nega. So don't confuse that case with the case of where part of what was originally the nega of the pricha now became healthy skin. It's not the same at all. Now let's imagine a case that the nega was in fact porach bekulai, and all that was left was a half of an adasha, and that half of an adasha was not ro'ui for an actual nega at all, even betzirov. Why? Because that half of an adasha was right next to his hair on his head, or the hair on his beard, or next to raw skin, a shchin, or a michva, or a kedach that were mordim. And now, that means that the nega did spread all over, and this area, the only part that it didn't cover, is an area that is next to an area that isn't roy to be tamei ben egoyim. So even though the part that is still left is too small itself to become a nega because it's less than the shear of a kadasha, and nonetheless we're saying that it's, if it would be next to a piece that could become shayach to negoyim, makes no difference. In the case where the Rosh and the Zakan end up becoming normal skin, the Shechin and the Mechva end up becoming normal skin, so then the halacha is that Af al pi shenasa makom hamichya baharet, in this case, when the area that was before it was healthy and it was smaller than a kadasha, and now it gets covered. So now you would say, okay, great. So now I'm covering the entire area that was roy to be covered at the time that the original pricha took place. And you said that even if afterwards part of the skin becomes roy for more pricha, that doesn't matter it, because at the time that the pricha took place, this was all that needed to be covered. So isn't that the same over here? The chatzi adasha that was a problem, that's all covered. So it's no longer a problem. The piece that's next to the chatzi adasha, which now does not have any hair in it, or which now has healthy skin in it, that is no problem, right? Because it wasn't a problem before, since before it was covered with hair. Or it wasn't a problem before, since before it was raw skin. Wrong. It's not true. In this case, the guy remains tamei until he actually covers the part that now and only now became roy to get a nega. Ad shetifrach bekulo. Because in order for us to say that the original nega remains tahar, it had to have finished its pricha to become tahar. And since in this case it did not, because it left a chatzi adasha, which was not porach bekulo, and porach bekulo is literally porach bekulai. So because of that, if now that it does cover it, it still left out the newly kosher skin. Doesn't matter that it's newly kosher. It's still not porach bekulai. Okay, so we got some of the very subtle interrelated protedinim of the halacha of pricha.